Hello and welcome to episode 1 of Project Performance. This podcast is brought to you by IADT Radio Society and IADT Students Union. I am your host, Cathy Ann Murphy, and I am very excited to have our first ever episode of this podcast. And to kick us off, I am joined by some fantastic artists from the Animism Productions. But first, we will talk about our topic for this week, which is freedom. Again, if you would like to get involved with this discussion, you can tweet us or tag us on Instagram or Facebook. So the reason I picked freedom as this week's topic really resonates from the recent occurrences that have happened both internationally and at home over the past few weeks. We will try not to become political on this podcast, but it must be pointed out that a major country has made a huge turning point for the benefit of humanity, and justice will be served, if you will. But not only has there been momentous changes in our world, but freedom also reflects upon our work as artists. We have not been able to create the work that we wanted to create. I, for one, had projects cancelled or postponed, and many of my colleagues and peers have been in the same boat. So it's been a huge blow to not only theatre, but the entire arts industry. Especially with the subsequent meme that's going around at the moment about us all upskilling, which, you know, enough said there. But yet, with great defeat comes great ideas, and we have overcome the obstacles thrown at us. We have attended Zoom readings, online exhibitions, screened concerts and shows, create poetry, stories and new music during our time in isolation. The freedom of technology and the way that we see the arts has basically been adapted and partially reinvented during this time, and it's quite phenomenal. I was lucky enough to attend the DSS, which is Design for Stage and Screen, first year stop motion animation projects last week by Zoom, which was truly fantastic to see. I was amazed to hear the way that they were communicating and they created their work in new ways that they have never considered before. It is truly innovative and nothing to shy away from. But coming back to our topic of freedom and our reference piece for this week, which is the clip from Pina Bausch's production of Valmond, performed by Tanztheater Wuppertal as part of the 2010 Next Wave Festival in BAM Howard Gilmore Opera House. Pina Bausch is a very renowned movement director, deviser and choreographer. I love her work. Her work is quite stunning and fascinating. Her work encapsulates the body and performance. And at a very young age, she started dancing and then was later taken by Juilliard in New York in 1960. During this time, she met many prestigious teachers, such as Martha Graham, who really changed the future of dance. During 1978, Bausch formed her own ideologies around dance, which is her dreamlike poetic imagery and bodily language. Her method took the dancer's emotions into account and how they could be understood by any audience. Pina Bausch's work gives us a harsh look at reality while also investigating dream. With use of gesture, Bausch was interested into the logic and reasoning behind a movement and not just the choreography. The piece was presented by some of her students a year after her death in 2009. If you've seen the clip, which I've said is on our social media accounts, you'll see that there is an overall very simple yet effective design. It is a very high energy piece with costume design by Marion Quito, I hope I'm saying that correctly, and set by Peter Babst. There is the use of water throughout, and it is a piece representing love, sex and animal instinct. So why did I choose this as for this week's topic? Well, as we can see in the piece, there is the use of repetition in numerous ways, from the movements, sequences and visuals that may represent confinement, and then the sudden changes represent the unleashment, animalistic freedom. While we watch it, we can definitely say that there is an overall portrayal of a sense of freedom and self-exploration. Could we say that about ourselves as artists? Someone recently pointed out to me that we are people, or animals really, on a rock floating through space. I know that's a very bleak thing to say, especially at the moment, But we cannot hide away from the fact that we are only co-inhabitants of this planet and possibly universe. We are not the be-all and end-all. And what happened last week with the election of the 46th President Biden and his vice, Harris, it was a pivotal point in history, and it will go down in history, and evidently the arts will be affected by this change, just as they were in 2016. So we can then refer to a term called phenomenology, which is a psychological term, but can be used in theories and performance and also any kind of art. What it means at a very basic level is the study of lived experiences. Basically suggesting meaning really comes from the existence in relationships and our own senses, emotions and our consciousness. So how I see the world could be hugely different to how someone else sees the world, even down to everyday things. Bausch also uses this with her dancers and how they see the world and how they feel about certain topics to shape her work, making it very raw and true. Of course, we can change the way we see the world, and a lot can affect how we see the world, such as education and lived experiences. But overall, we all see things differently. So, if we were to look at performance and the use of freedom as artists, we all have our own interpretations, our own subconscious, our own creativity. And this could be seen in the piece at a basic level. The repetition of being able to break out and explore and interpret our emotions and psychological standing, and then coming back and creating a way to make it accessible to an audience. So to conclude on this topic before I speak to my wonderful guests, what I really wanted to highlight with this topic this week is freedom is so important. Freedom of speech, expression, freedom of self, and that we all perceive the world differently. We all experience things differently. And then this use of freedom to create more original, captivating work. Speaking of captivating work, I am now joined by some of the artists from Animism Productions, which is a puppetry and performance company formed in 2018. The company includes four DSS fourth year students, Saoirse Kelly, Saoirse Whelan, Caitlin O'Donnell and Aoife O'Callaghan. I am also joined by one of their performers, Aoife Kelly. They performed their show Brona Ocas on Banshee in the Monkstown International Puppet Festival in 2019, last August. Hello, girls. So I guess the best way to start us off is if we could all introduce ourselves and tell us what your discipline is in Design for Stage and Screen.
Yeah, hi, my name's Saoirse and I am a character makeup design student in DSS.
Hi, my name is Aoife and I'm in the production design pathway in Design for Stage and Screen, and with Animism I am one of the performers.
Hi, I'm the other Saoirse and I'm a character makeup design student as well.
Hiya, I'm Caitlin and I'm also in character makeup design.
Fantastic. So leading us on, Saoirse Carey is going to tell us about the company. So what we really want to know for the listeners at home is why you decided to start this company, where the idea came about, and did any of the lecturers or any of the faculty in the college help you to start the company?
Yeah, so just to start off and just say that we're, you know, a theatre performance company. We specialise in puppetry. Our name actually comes from the word animism, which means to bring life into an inanimate object, which just encapsulates the idea of what we do. So yeah, Animism came about and we were given the opportunity to put on a show for the Monkstown International Puppet Festival, and we were given opportunity to be financed. We'd done puppet shows before as part of our discipline in first year and we'd really enjoyed it. So it sounded really cool to actually put on a show outside of the college environment and have something entirely ours. The idea kind of initially came from an idea that Saoirse and Caitlin actually had in a previous project, which wasn't picked. We usually come up with one or two stories, and this time the story wasn't picked, so we kind of had it in our back pocket and we always wanted to make it. So when this opportunity came about, we wanted to grab it and absolutely go for it. And that's really what we did. One of the lecturers that kind of also pushed us was Paul O'Donnell, who is notorious in IEDT for his absolute adoration for puppets, and he put it into us. So yeah, that's kind of what sprung about. We are just really interested in making something our own and having less kind of lecture interaction. We did have Paul on towards the end to help with any puppet technical stuff, but in the end he just kind of ended up being a cheerleader to us and just really being our number one fan and supporter.
Cool. And what I really want to know is, when you all came together as artists, did you know that you all wanted to work together, or do you think that, you know, it was the time, you know, when you were all in the same year group, or were you all friends, or how did you come together as artists for this project?
Yeah, we are all really good friends. Saoirse Whelan and I are actually second cousins. We didn't meet until we actually came into the degree, which was such a big coincidence. So yeah, we were all really good friends. Aoife, Kelly and I were planning on running the Drama Soc in the year after, which we did in our third year. This was the end of second year when this was all kind of coming together. So we knew we wanted to work more in a theatre-based practice as well. So that just kind of made sense to get her on for the performance. But yeah, we were all friends, and we all kind of all felt the common burn of not being able to put on this show. We were all so fascinated by the story. When I heard, because I wasn't part of the, excuse me, the initial group, I was so annoyed that the performance wasn't going to be made, or it was a puppet film. It was initially going to be a puppet film. So yeah, I think we all had that common motivation of wanting to put on the show, because I was very fascinated with the story, so I wedged myself in. But Saoirse and Caitlin were a part of the initial team that come up with the idea. So when we heard about this opportunity, we all kind of came together. And then that's when we got in contact with our friend Aoife O'Callaghan, who is a costume designer. And she's really good friends with us as well, and it all just kind of came together that way.
Brilliant. There's nothing better than working with your friends. Certainly I've worked with a lot of friends over the years in different shows, and it definitely helps when you get on. So moving on then, as you were talking about the original idea, so Saoirse Whelan, how did you come up with the idea? Where did it originally come from, and, you know, the script, and how you came about writing the script?
Yeah, it started off as two different ideas that we had for a project in first year, and originally it was going to be a puppet film, and we had to come up with two different scripts. And our first script we came up with was a story based on the Banshee, and then the other one was for Krampus. And we had these two different ideas, and we pitched it to the film students, and they picked Krampus, which we were very upset about because we thought the Banshee idea was much better. But it came from literally just looking at these two characters, because originally we were inspired for the Banshee story written by Blind Boy Boat Club. And I read the story and I was like, wow, this would be really interesting. But the lecturers weren't as enthusiastic about it as I was. So they said, but, you know, the character of the Banshee is really interesting, so why don't you look into that more and see if there's something else? But there's not really many stories about the Banshee. It's mostly just the myth itself. So we looked more into that, and we found out that the myth usually talks about a woman who's died in a family, and she's usually tied to the family. It's usually like a single woman who's died young, and she's tied to the family, and she warns the family when someone's about to die. So we thought maybe it'd be interesting if we looked at it from a child's perspective, and we looked at it as if a child had died in the family and she's kind of coming to grips with her new life as a Banshee. So we kind of went with that idea, and we wrote like a preliminary script and came up with some of the designs, but then the idea was cut short because we ended up doing the other choice. So afterwards, this idea of the puppet festival came up, we kind of just went with that story and we furthered it on, and we added more details to it. We added more characters, including like a little Robin, because we realised we wanted to tell the whole story true Irish, because it is an Irish story. We thought it was important to kind of put that into the story and add another layer to it. And we wanted it to still be accessible to other people. So even if you had no Irish at all, you could still understand what was going on in the story. So we added the character of Spidog, who's a little Robin. and he kind of guides Brona throughout her journey to kind of realizing that she's a banshee and this is her new, you know, pathway in life. And Spid is a robin, is kind of seen as a symbolism for someone who's from the past coming back into your life, like someone who's died who guides you through your life. So we decided to bring him in, and he, you know, Brona explains things to him as if he's part of the audience, and she explains it in a way that we can understand. Even if you don't have any Irish, she over-explains herself so that everyone can get what's going on in the story.
That's fascinating. And what is so interesting is how puppetry and the use of puppetry is really starting to preserve, you know, Irish identity and the Irish language, especially with the likes of Mockness, which I know Paul is very vision in the creation of their puppets. So it's fascinating to hear the use of Irish. And I suppose what I would be interested in is, do you have very strong Irish? Would that be something that is important to you? Did you have an Irish background? And why did you decide to tell it in Irish, or tell moments of it in Irish rather than English?
Well, I myself have barely any Irish at all, which was really interesting coming into it. There's a few of us. Aoife O'Callaghan is fluent in Irish, and there was another girl, Isabel, who was on it with us originally, and she's also fluent in Irish. So we had two fluent Irish speakers, and then the rest of us only have bits and pieces, like we would have what we've learned in school. But we just knew that that was something that we wanted to keep in the story, because it also adds another layer of, you know, if the audience can't really understand her, she's kind of, you know, she's not really human, and it gives us like a different perspective. But there was like, it added layers onto it, because even though like I don't speak much Irish, I could still understand what everything that was happening in the story. And we had lecturers, like one of our lecturers, Liam, is actually English, and he was bawling crying at the end of Brona, because he still understood, he could feel the emotions of the story, you know, even though he had not a word. But then there was the different layers of some people who didn't speak Irish, and then there are people who had little bits of Irish like we did that caught certain words and certain phrases. And then there were a lot of Irish speakers who actually came to the show as well, because once we advertised it as an Irish speaking show, a lot of people came to see it. And so it added like different layers to it as well. And I think it was important to keep that into the story. And as Liam said, it kind of added that kind of mythical, old feeling to it as well.
Cool. Brilliant. So as the listeners know, I'm studying Irish studies. So it's hugely fascinating to me that, you know, Irish could be used in this way, and as an educational way, but also an artistic way. But moving on to Aoife Kelly, you are one of the performers in this piece, which I'd say was a challenge in itself, especially when it comes to puppetry. Did you have any background in using puppets, or were you one of the other performers, or what was your character? So tell us about that.
I think for all of us, our love of puppetry has been nurtured through IADT, and so many of the tutors are so enthusiastic about puppetry. And for me personally, it's something that was new to me. But once introduced, we were all so excited about it, and something we didn't want to put to rest after kind of the initial projects in first year, where you might move on to other projects that wouldn't contain puppetry. So once the girls asked me to come on board, it was really exciting. And when they talked about the different layers of communicating the story purely through puppetry and as well as through Irish, it's a really fun challenge to try and tell the story in that way.
And I suppose what is so interesting as a performer in this situation is, you know, puppets have their own little characteristics, they have their own identity on that stage, and they're very believable. So were you one of the puppets, are you manning one of the puppets, or were you another character? Because I know from some of the photographs there is some other characters within the piece that aren't necessarily the puppets, so I was wondering if you could tell me more about that.
So we have lots of different characters within this piece. So we have the Banshee herself, we have Brona, we have Connor, and we have Spido. So I puppeteered the Banshee and was also the voice of the Banshee with Aoife O'Callaghan. So it's really interesting trying to use Irish songs or common phrases in Irish and linking them into melodies that give this haunting vibe throughout the piece, which is really interesting to play with. And almost all of the sounds that we created in the show were created by all of the performers. So the kind of percussion sounds and singing all came from us as well. So it's a really fun element to incorporate into the puppetry. But then there's lots of practice goes into kind of bringing life to them, as you say, and giving them a sense of reality and a sense of emotion, which is really fun for the banshee, kind of giving her creepy hands and the way she moves and really unique to her, and then Brona having a much more gentle, sweet touch, and really fun things to play with like that.
Brilliant. And then to move on to Caitlin, I think what the audience would love to know, is there more projects on the way? Is there anything in the works? And how did the audience respond to your show in Monkstown? Did you have any feedback? Did you have family and friends attend? And how did they think the show went?
Yes, so we did a lot of our marketing like through social media, and that's kind of how we built our audience. We got kind of recognition from Molescale, TG Cahir, and they kind of put us in touch with more Irish speakers, which was really interesting. And we sold out the venue, which was Monkstown Parish Church, and it was about 200 people, and they all came from all around the country. Like, I have family down in Clare, they all came up, and like people who didn't have any Irish, people who had like good Irish, and it was a really good reaction that we got to it. Like, we stayed around afterwards, and like the audience came up and they could like interact with the puppets, like waving at them, like talking to the puppets, which was really lovely. And I think in terms of future projects, we'd love to do something, but we're kind of put on hold for the moment. We were planning on performing Brona again in Monkstown this year, but that got cancelled because of COVID. So.
And do you think that moving forward, especially, like, I know you're doing your fourth year majors and minors, and as myself, I know that that is like the apocalypse. It is, it's quite tough going. But what I'd love to know is, would you ever use like technology? Would you ever be interested in possibly filming, or, you know, filming the piece to get to a wider audience? Because I definitely think our listeners at home, and myself included, would definitely love to see the full version.
Yeah, we were planning on doing that. We'd love to film it, like just get into a black box studio and film it. Like, we have our trailer, but like, we'd love to do the whole performance. It would be lovely.
Great. Well, hopefully that'll happen eventually. So the last part that I'm going to ask most of my guests on this show is the importance of the arts. And really, I want to know why you decided to become an artist. So to kick us off, Aoife, would you like to start and tell us why you decided, or what did it come from a young age, and why you became an artist?
I think I've always loved art, and I was always that child who was drawing in the corner and doodling away all the time. But I've also had a love for theatre and a love for performing since a very young age. I'd always be involved in drama groups, and we'd be putting on plays at lunchtime, and I'd be in the choir, and I'd be in lots of different groups that just love to put on shows tell stories in that way. And then when it came to looking for kind of a career path or somewhere to look to the future and beyond school, this is the only thing that I could see myself doing and stood out to me straight away. And I think a lot of us would say we knew as soon as we got into the course that this is the place for us, and it makes it a really, it's a really creative and nurturing space as artists, and lets you explore ideas like Brona Oxbansheda and make stories that are really exciting to us.
Brilliant. And Saoirse Carey, the same question.
I can kind of speak for myself and Saoirse in saying that our families are extremely artistic, so I don't think either of us really had a choice. Not that we're being forced by our families, but just through our own gut. So I grew up, my nanny taught me how to paint and stuff, and then from that, art really became a comfort to me. Anytime I was feeling any big emotions as a child I couldn't really explain, I would throw that into drawing and art, and that's really, really, that just really comes through to now. Coming into DSS and choosing this as a career path, I agree with Aoife, the whole, I'm a freelance portrait artist at the moment, and it's something I absolutely love doing. I love painting, but there's a whole other level to theatre and even film and storytelling and creating characters and stories and environments in which people really engage themselves in and can really relate to. I still find myself to this day leaning towards animated films way quicker than live action, and there's just something in a created world, to me that's so fascinating and will always draw me in. Art's just always been there for me as a comfort, and it's just always something I always come back to.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people can relate to that, especially us artists, and how important it is in our lives. And just to point out, Saoirse Carey also created our artwork for the podcast. So, and you can see a lot of her work on Instagram as well as the rest of the girls, which we will come back to with all your Instagram handles. But we still have to hear from Saoirse Whelan. So what is your relationship with the arts and history with the arts?
Yeah, I think as Saoirse said, it's kind of always been a part of our family. We've grew up around artists, and I've always been encouraged to express myself in an artistic way, and kind of grew up around, my uncle's a singer, and I grew up around, going to gigs with him and, helping him set up and stuff like that. And I think I spent most of my days when I was a kid just daydreaming and getting lost in my own little fantasies and different little worlds I'd make up for myself. And when I got a bit older and I started to watch films and things like that, I ended up getting really into looking at behind the scenes of films and seeing how a character was created from the idea to save in the makeup and then them walking around on screen. And I never realized, oh, you can actually do that. That's a job that is, possible. And I think that's the thing that's most exciting for me, is to all of these ideas and things I have in my head, to see it actually become real and see it an idea walking around. Or with Brona, it was an idea that we had and we conceptualized ourselves, and then to see the puppets and to, see the people's reactions to our creations and see them actually walking up on stage and people interacting with the puppets, and to see, some kids and the smiles in their faces when they shook Brona's little hand. And I think that's what's so interesting and so exciting about it, is just to actually get that response from people.
And again, last but not least, Caitlin, can you please tell us why you decided to be an artist and your history with the arts?
Yeah, I think quite similar to everyone else, coming from a creative background as a little artsy kid, and I love watching shows and TVs and seeing the behind the scenes, Saoirse said, how do they do that? What did they do? How could I do that? Things kind of like that. Even Brona, we created her from nothing. So it's just really interesting to see that come to life. That's what I really enjoy about it.
Brilliant. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me. And I think we really need to give you a shout out to all your Instagram or whatever kind of design accounts you have. So if you want to take turns telling us where we can find you all. I know we can find you, your production company, Animism Productions, on Instagram. And obviously we have tagged you in a lot of our posts. But you can take turns. Aoife Kelly, if you want to go first and tell us where we can find your work.
You can find my work on Instagram at Aoife_Kelly, K-E-L-L-E.
And Saoirse Carey?
You can find my work, mostly portrait work, at Squeefox. It's S-Q-U-E-E-F-O-X.
Saoirse Whelan?
You can find me on Instagram at Saoirse_Whelan.
Fantastic. And Caitlin?
Yep, my design work is on Instagram at caitlin.t.design.
Fantastic, and thank you so much, ladies, for joining me today. Next week I will be joined by Dara Black, visual communications student, and we will be talking about the topic of time in performance. Thank you very much for listening. Stay safe and keep